welcome back to the Rewind That Tape podcast. Welcome back to our weekend warm-up. I'm Jay Probst.
And I'm Dr. Cash.
And, I mean, the first thing we're obviously going to talk about is that NFL football is back. NFL regular season football is back, and it's back with an absolute bang. Detroit Lions beating the Kansas City Chiefs 21-20. And I mean, Cash, can you just give us your initial thoughts? Because I mean, I know I was absolutely floored by this game. But what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty shocking just to see the extent to which Patrick Mahomes, his receivers just weren't able to catch the ball. Like, obviously, without yeah. Travis Kelce, that team's receiving core is pretty depleted, but it just looked really bad out there. Mahomes is making the right plays.
I mean, he looked good. Mahomes looked good.
Yeah, no, he looked great. It was just the thing was he didn't have enough weapons, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure what this front office is going to do about it, because yeah, sure, when Kelce gets back, it'll make a big difference. But when you have, I mean, like Marquez Valdes-Scantling as your number one receiver, I just don't think that's going to take him far enough.
Yeah, and when Kadarius Toney is your number two receiver and he has four drops, so I mean, it's a bad situation.
Yeah, all around, like, it's definitely not a great way to start off the season at home. But I think there's obviously plenty of time to make adjustments. Trade markets there. There's going to be receivers to trade for. But overall, I'd have to highlight the fact that the Lions just played an all-around great game. I mean, that fake punt really just showed me, like,
set the tone.
Yeah, it did set the tone. Like, the Lions weren't going to sit back and let the Chiefs kind of dominate this game. They went early. They took the risk. They knew that in order to win at Arrowhead, that big plays, big risk needed to be taken, and they made the right plays, and it all worked out, and it was a great win all around. I mean, special teams had that fake punt conversion, defense had that pick six, and the offense was flowing pretty well. I mean, the offense only put up, I mean, they put up two touchdowns, but which, I mean, in a regular game is below average, but they overall played well in a tough environment opening night.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing was that they started off strong. I think their first few drives, they're moving the ball really well. And if not for that for that fumble from Marvin Jones Jr., I think they really are in a good position. I think if Marvin Jones Jr. doesn't fumble, they get at least a field goal in that play, and that's already, looking at it, they're tied with the Chiefs going into halftime. But yeah, I think they played really well in the first half. And they were touchdown down. But when they came out in the third quarter, it was, I don't know, I felt like it was stale, but the Lions defense was tough. They were holding strong. KC didn't get a single touchdown in the second half. And once the Lions offense started getting flicking, I mean, they had two touchdowns, and I mean, Alibi, one of those was a pick six, but they had two touchdowns, and yeah, they closed out the game. And the unsung hero, I feel like, who I think really, really impacted the game was Jahmyr Gibbs. I really liked how he played. Him, Montgomery, that running back pairing. I don't know. I feel like that's the star of this offense right now.
Yeah, Montgomery definitely had a big fourth quarter. I think he extended those drives. He was able to keep Detroit on offense, keep him on the right side of the ball. And to your point, Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously a really interesting prospect. We saw when the Lions drafted him. He looks like a great two-way back. He'll be able to receive the ball. And he runs it pretty effectively as well. So the way the Lions use that 1-2 combo, they're going to have plenty of options when it comes to those third and short, fourth and short situations.
Exactly. I definitely agree. I think the Lions team is good. I think that while it is, in my opinion, I feel like they possibly misused those first round pick. They've been definitely getting a lot of slack for it. But I mean, J- Jahmyr Gibbs is paying off. I mean, Jack Campbell had a few solid plays in coverage. I saw cloaking Justin Watson. I mean, and he played really well. I feel like both rookies had a good game, and I feel like Detroit just is set up really well. But I mean, I feel like we have to go back to KC, because do you think there's, if you're Kansas City, if you're the general manager, do you wait for Travis Kelce to come back? Do you feel like, hey, Sky Moore, he could bounce back. KT is going to bounce back. You have, what is it, like 7, 8 receivers on this list. And do you wait? Do you wait until Travis Kelce comes back, or do you pull the switch? Do you try and make a move right now?
I mean, I think right now the most important thing for this offense is to get Kelce back. I mean, he's a veteran. He knows how to bring the group together. Saw him from the sidelines.
Yeah.
He was active, yelling, getting his team pumped up. So I think that's the number one priority. See how that goes this first few weeks up till week 5. And, you know, there's some receivers that are going to be on the market. Mike Evans. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. Today he spoke to the media for the first time and didn't sound 100% confident that he's going to be a Buccaneer after this season. So, you know, the Chiefs are going to have to end up making a move here. I think so, because
yeah,
if Patrick Mahomes is able to win a Super Bowl with this receiving core, it's going to be
something. That would be crazy, yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going to end up making a move one way or another. But I think, yeah, for right now, week 1, going into week 2, getting Kelce back is the number one priority.
For sure. I think he, like you said, he brings continuity to the group. And I think one thing that I personally was a little disappointed to see, especially when you have so many drops, I really would have liked to see Justin Ross on the field more. He only had one target for 6 yards. I feel like he is one of those prospects that could really, really be a difference changer. I mean, his time at Clemson injury field, but I mean, he was a 5-star recruit, one of the best receivers I personally have watched in college. I think he, I don't know, maybe next week we see him in action. But yeah, I think there has to be some kind of either internal improvement or change, because I feel like that pick six, just watching that video again, that kind of just sums up the entire evening for the Chiefs wide receiver group.
Yeah, they're just unprepared. They didn't look like a group that would be able to help Mahomes. They just look out of sorts and don't know what they're doing on the field. But I'm sure it's going to change at the end of the day. I think that Kansas City front office, it would just be really a waste of 1 year of prime Mahomes.
Exactly. Yeah.
That contract, if you don't do anything to help this roster, because clearly it was not good enough today. I mean, all around, if they had an average receiving core, this team's putting up 30-35 tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. But moving on to Sunday, because that's when the full NFL slate is unleashed. And we're not going to bore you all by going through each game. But both me and Cash have picked one game that we think is going to cover the spread, surprise the spread. And I mean, I'll go first. I think Jacksonville and Indianapolis. I think that's going to be a surprise game. Right now it's -5 Jacksonville. And yeah, I think Indianapolis can shock a few people in this game. I think Anthony Richardson, what we've been hearing from camp, his preparation, the work that he's been putting in, is really, really, really surprising. And also, I wouldn't say surprising, but it's really encouraging. And I think he's gotten the entire team around him. He's voted captain. And let's not forget, this Indianapolis defense is one of the best in the leagues when they're healthy. So I think with that kind of behind him, it could surprise some people.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. I think what they have roster-wise, like, it hasn't jumped out to people this offseason, but they still have some really solid players. And Anthony Richardson, he looks like he's definitely putting in the work. He's got a ton of potential. It's a home opener. while the Jags are a good team, yeah, you're right. These Colts could shock some people. It's a completely new staff, culture change, and it would be a great way to start off the season. All right, looking at this Carolina Falcons matchup, it caught my eye. Division game to start out. I feel like Carolina here could come within three, but definitely have a pretty good chance to win. I mean, both pretty new quarterbacks in Bryce Young and Desmond Ridder. And last season, I get it was Ridder's rookie year, but I didn't see a whole lot out of him. And while I think he's definitely developed this offseason, I just don't know if his weapons have. Looking at the receivers, I mean, it's just not that promising to me. And this Carolina defense, they were good last year, and they're even better this year. So I think it'll be tough for the Falcons to move down the field. And switching it up on the other side of the ball, I think Bryce Young, Adam Thielen, Hayden Hurst, he's got some solid weapons there. Miles Sanders in the backfield. They're definitely going to be able to put some points up on the board on a Falcons defense that does have talent, but they've struggled here in the past few seasons. So I'm going to go with Panthers to cover the spread of my 3.5.
Man, I just have to say, there ain't no way I'm betting against my man Bijan Robinson right here. All right.
I think the expectations are high. They're high for him.
The expectations are high because he is, in my opinion, the best running back prospect since Saquon. And he's not going to lose his first game. That's for sure. He's not going to lose his first game. And Bryce Young, as good as he is, I mean, you talked about weapons, but like when 33-year-old Adam Thielen is your number one receiver, I can't say that he has a good receiving cast or any good weapons. I mean, it just I can't, because Adam Thielen is there's a reason Minnesota released him. Okay, there's a reason. But and
would you say that Falcons have any better weapons on from the receiving point of view?
Drake London and Kyle Pitts are two top 10 picks. I don't know. I think Atlanta has a more developed quarterback in Desmond Ridder. He had time to learn under Marcus Mariota, who you might say he's not the best veteran quarterback presence, which I agree he's not, but he's a veteran quarterback presence. He's been through the ringer. He knows what it takes. And I think that's experience Ridder will take with him. He started a few games. He looked okay. He didn't look great, but he didn't look bad. And if he can just use those, and Atlanta has a solid offensive line too. So if he can just use that, let his time come to him. Use Bijan, because Bijan's going to be there to take pressure off of Ridder and make the throws that the defense gives him, because he's going to have weapons. I mean, Drake London's a good receiver, even though I traded him on my fantasy league. Kyle Pitts is could be one of the best tight ends in the league. He was freaking drafted ahead of Justin Herbert. But yeah, I think the Falcons are going to surprise. I wouldn't say surprise some people, because they are projected to or betted to win against Carolina. So the defense isn't no slouch either. I mean, AJ Terrell, I think he's one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. And they'll be able to shut down inexperienced Bryce Young, which, in my opinion, a very lackluster surrounding supporting cast. But that was my Bijan rant, if you say. But yeah, I don't know. I just can't see it. I can't see Atlanta losing. I can't see Bijan losing.
It's going to be a good game. And I don't know. I just like that Panthers roster overall. I get it. Having Thielen as a receiver number one, the number one option, isn't ideal, but I don't know. I just feel like their defense is really, really good, and a lot of people are underrating them.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is good, right? J.C. Horn is good, Brian Burns is good, and he's about to get an extension too. But I don't know. I just think that good offense, explosive offense, even if they get 2-3 touchdowns, they could win the game with that. They could win 3 touchdowns, and I think they could get that if Bijan plays well. And I know he will 100% play well. So that's my prediction. Probably going to be around 21-10, 21-14 game. maybe even 21-17. But yeah, I don't think Carolina covers the spread.
I don't know. It'll be a toss up. Two young quarterbacks that haven't seen one regular season game be played, and the other just not a whole lot, hasn't had a full offseason. So I think it's going to be unpredictable, but I'm putting my faith in that Panthers defense here.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I can feel you. I feel you as a, I guess now you're a semi Panthers fan. I don't know. But
before we get back to the podcast, I'd like to give a quick shout out to our sponsors at Anchor and Spotify Podcast. They make it easy for us to upload and share all of our podcasts to all the Spotify networks. To check them out, go to SpotifyPodcasters.com and sign up today.
Moving on to college football, because that's where all the heated rivalries stand. Saturday night, I mean, we already got first week last weekend, and I mean, it did not disappoint. There were some surprises, I would say. I mean, Colorado, obviously. FSU played really well. But now we look forward to this weekend's slate. And to be honest, it's a lot of the same. A lot of big teams, Georgia, FSU, Tennessee, going against these low, unranked teams. But there is one game that is going to salvage us from this despair of non-conference football. And that is Alabama, Crimson Tide versus Texas Longhorns. 6 p.m. ESPN, rematch of the game last year in Austin. But this time it's going to be in Tuscaloosa. And this time you already know Texas is going to get some redemption.
Don't think so.
Wow. Already hating.
I'm already hating.
Wow. Bro, Quinn Ewers, did you not see him last game against Rice? 260 yards, 3 touchdowns. Bro was balling, and I already know he's coming out to Alabama with a vengeance because they injured this man. So I already know he's coming out with a vengeance.
I don't know. I think so too, but I think he's coming in with a chip on his shoulder. But playing in Tuscaloosa is different. Well, I saw an article this week earlier. No UT fans will be in the lower bowl.
I saw that too.
So I don't know, man. I just feel like Saban in Tuscaloosa. It's got to be one of the toughest places to play, and I think Burrow, if I stand correct, Burrow and LSU were the last team to win there. So it's going to be a tough challenge for Sarkisian. He knows this program, been there, done that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I can't go against the blue blood. I mean, Saban's he's not going to lose this game. He's perennial head coach, plays really, really well at home. And overall, I mean, UT, they looked good in that week one game against Rice.
It's Rice, exactly.
It's Rice.
I agree.
So, I do like this UT roster.
The one glaring thing that stands out to me to Alabama, and keep in mind, I don't watch a bunch of Alabama games. I haven't watched much of Jalen Milroe highlights. But the fact that he had barely 200 yards against a Middle Tennessee team that they beat 56-7. And I understand he had 3 passing touchdowns, 2 running touchdowns, very nice stat line. And with his rushing, he got to like 250 yards, whatever. But, I mean, I know he is probably the better running quarterback in the Alabama room. And so that's one of the things that I'm like, Maybe UT could take advantage of that.
Yeah, I looked at that too. I mean, Milroe obviously doesn't have experience in these big games yet. It's going to be the first of many. And I do think Bama's going to try to pound the ball. They're just going to try to run it. I'm not going to say play conservative because once in a while Saban's going to draw up a play action 50-yard dot. But I think that Milroe's inexperience, it will kind of wear off in the first couple quarters. By halftime, I think, you know, he's going to be able to adjust to what he's seeing from Texas. And I do think, though, that Sarkisian's definitely going to try to go after the kid, knowing that he hasn't played a game like this yet. It's going to be in front of tens of thousands of fans, top 10 matchup right here. And the pressure's going to be on because lose that out-of-conference game, still got Georgia in the future. That SEC is not getting any easier. So I feel like the pressure's on to win this game. And overall for CFP hopes, I know it's just week two, but you're always going to come back to the losses. And so for Milroe, pressure's on, yeah. But I think he adjusts to it pretty quick on. Pretty quickly.
Exactly. And I mean, it's not even like he has like he has any breathing room either because Buckner and I mean, to be honest with you, the entire four quarterbacks in that Alabama quarterback room are breathing down his neck. It is one of the tightest competitions I've seen in a while in an Alabama quarterback room since, you know, Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, Tua were all in the same room.
Right.
But yeah, I think this is going to be exciting to watch. I think while I don't agree with you, I agree slightly that Alabama will play well, but I think this is not the same Longhorns team that you saw. I mean, Xavier Worthy looks nice. He looks nice. Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, AD Mitchell. I really like him.
Looks nice. I mean, the Georgia transfer, I was at that game against Rice, and he looks nice. As well as Jaden Blue. I mean, their running back core, obviously they didn't replace Bijan. No one ever will. But Jaden Blue looks nice. He looks nice. And that's – I feel like I keep repeating that phrase. The UT team looks nice. So I think they're gonna be good for at least make this game competitive.
Oh, yeah. It's going to come down to the wire, in my opinion. I think Texas will have a lead at some point throughout that game. I mean, they've got the experience. AD Mitchell, I feel it's important that he's played in the SEC. He's played in these games. He played Bama. Yeah. So he definitely brings something to the table there. But I think Bama's going to walk out with the W here. It's going to be a tight one, though.
I just can't agree with you on that one. And, I mean, that's what this podcast is for. Obviously, we're not going to agree with each other on everything. But – I think, to be honest with you, I think ultimately it's going to come down to that UT defense. Can they stop Jaden Milroe? Can they somehow slow down this Alabama defense? Because if you can take away if you can make them one dimensional, it's just going to get so much easier for you. It is just going to get so much easier for you. And one of the biggest, I feel like, key factors of this game, I mean, is David Benda. I think he played amazing in that Rice game. And if he, at his linebacker position, if he just moves around, if he spies on the court, if he rushes, if he's able to just cover that middle of the field, take away some of those passing lanes, I feel like UT would be in such a great position to win this game.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest factors for UT, one of the biggest keys to success is just going to be to take out that Alabama team early on and try to lower that crowd noise because they're going to be crazy. And just taking the momentum out of that building early on would be massive. And that's making a statement on the opening drive. Getting that touchdown, early touchdown in and get an early stop. I think making a statement early against this team, it will be one of the biggest reasons that they're in the game. Because when you look at it, Bama, they've been known that they're going to score on those first three drives, and if they do, it just completely deflates the opponent. They're up 21-0, and it's not even halfway through the first quarter. So I feel like if Texas is able to respond to that or stop it and score points on their side early on, make a statement, that would be huge.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. The beginning of the game is going to be so important to you. I mean, we saw that last year with Quinn Ewers. They had the momentum until they didn't.
right.
But moving on, obviously, Texas-Alabama, that's going to be the primetime game, 7:20, I believe. But there are a few more games that at least interest me a little bit. And hopefully they interest y'all as well. And one of those is Colorado versus Nebraska. And obviously, I'm saying this because of primetime and also because of Travis Hunter, because that Colorado team looks fun to watch. I was watching the TCU game and Travis Hunter was everywhere, boy. He was everywhere. Defense, offense. I saw he played like 82% of all the total snaps, which is absolutely insane. And he was saying he was ready for the next one. But that Colorado team looks ready to play. They look legit. And the Nebraska team, I mean, they lost to Minnesota close, 13-10. And their defense was playing solid. I think, obviously I'm going with prime time. Obviously, after Shoulder Sanders throws for 510 yards and four touchdowns, you kind of have to go with him.
Right.
But I think, if anything else, it's just going to be fun to watch Colorado this season. So I'm kind of, especially since it's on the in the 11 o'clock slot and there are no other games that look interesting to me, I'm definitely tuning in.
Yeah, but one of the things I like from Nebraska and their opener against Minnesota was how strong that defense was. I mean, the final score is what, like 13-10, I believe.
So yeah, 13-10.
Traditional, you know, defense dominated game. And for me, I think that if Nebraska is able to, now granted, it's a big ask, but if they're able to put up a performance similar to that defensively, they're definitely going to hold Colorado in check, and it'll be up to Colorado's defense, who didn't look great at all against TCU, to stop them. So I feel like, with that being said, I feel like the key is Nebraska's offense, because they weren't able to score against Minnesota, and they're not able to score against this defense, Colorado. They're going to get pounded on. I mean, it's a game of momentum. That's all it's about. So
yeah, and for Colorado, when you give up 42 points, that's not a good day for the defense.
Oh, yeah, not at all. And especially against a TCU team that's lost all these players. They're a great team, but they've lost a lot of players that haven't played a college football game yet, and they let up 42 points. So if Nebraska's offense is able to put up something like that, I think they end up with the win because their defense is just that strong.
Yeah, that's – I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I'm a prime time kind of like bandwagon. Yeah, I'd say I'm a primetime bandwagon for sure. And I don't think Nebraska's defense will stand any chance. I think it'll be a Travis Hunter catches four touchdowns, has two pick six, maybe throws a touchdown as well. But, yeah, I think this Colorado team is just going to be so fun to watch, especially in the last year of the Pac-12. Play Oregon in 2 weeks, USC after that. Oregon State, DJ Uiagalelei, and then Utah. I just can't wait for this team. It's gonna be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, a lot of these transfers that were high recruits out of college going to those smaller colleges, they're exciting to see.
Yeah, it's a primetime effect. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that wraps it up for our podcast today. Those are our college picks, our NFL picks. You already know we're going to be back next week with your weekend wrap up, kind of give you everything that's been going on in this weekend that we're previewing right now. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Spotify, wherever you guys are listening to this podcast right now, we'll be on there again. But thank you all so much for watching. Make sure to check out all our socials. I will wind that tape. And see y'all next time. Peace.